Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of Wrath of Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new edition. H.
Portico Security, specialized in cash trucks across L.A.
Do you have any idea how dangerous this job can be?
Some idea, yeah.
We ain't the predators. We're the prey.
You ready?
Ready.
This is your temporary sidearm.
What happens if we're pulling pistols in a machine gun fight?
Do you have a problem?
I don't know. Do I?
It's a 10 grand drop. You should have been back 5 minutes ago.
They're serious!
Leave this to me.
Get in the truck next time!
Sorry, pal.
Who is this lunatic?
I don't know.
It doesn't feel right. It's like he wants trucks to get hit. He's not a cop.
But if he's not a cop, what is he?
A while back, we lost two guards, a civilian too.
There was an investigation.
And they still haven't found the scum who did it.
You were in an accident.
My son.
He didn't make it.
I need to know who killed my son.
The tree has been shook, and it's been shook hard. We've scorched the earth.
You started by saying you'd do anything. But what I'm hearing is, you think you've done everything.
I can see it's going to be a long night.
It's got to be an inside job. I can do it in 2 weeks. I wish you could do in 20 years. And I do bear a grudge.
All right, everybody, you were just listening to the trailer for Wrath of Man, and the story is as follows. H, a cold and mysterious stranger, is hired by a cash truck company responsible for moving hundreds of millions of dollars around Los Angeles each week. During one such job, the truck gets held up at gunpoint, and H single-handedly deals with the robbers, showcasing advanced combat skills and training. Secretly, H is hunting for the people who murdered his son during a similar robbery, and plans to use his new position to set traps for every would-be robber in the city until he finds his son's killers. The film is starring Jason Statham, Holt McCallany, Jeffrey Donovan, Josh Hartnett, Laz Alonso, Raul Castillo, Dae Obia Apari, Eddie Marzin, and Scott Eastwood. It is written and directed by Guy Ritchie, co-written by Ivan Akeson and Marn Davies. Here to join me today for this podcast review, I have Daniel Howitt.
Hello, hello.
And joining us as a guest here today, welcome back to the show from Feelin' Film, Aaron White.
Woohoo! Once every 3 years. Happy to be back.
Has it really been that long?
That's the last time that Skype tells me we were on Skype together, so I'm assuming.
Wow!
Yeah, amazing. I know.
That's incredible. And we play your ad on our show like every week.
Oh. That's so wild.
I will admit, though, we have tried.
Oh, yeah. It's not on you. It's on me.
Yeah.
I've been busy and just, turned you down. But I'm so glad. So glad.
Scheduling is always a concern, always. But here we are, reviewing a Guy Ritchie film, of all things. So this should be a lot of fun. I don't know if it's going to be Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels fun or if it's going to be Revolver fun. I'll tell you this much. It's definitely not going to be Aladdin levels of fun. That's for sure. This is a very, very different kind of movie.
Thank goodness.
So after doing The Gentlemen, which last year I actually thought was quite a romp, a really, really fun, comedic, Guy Ritchie-style crime film, the kind of movie that you would expect him to make, he's here now with Wrath of Man, which is definitely a lot more serious, a lot less jokes and zingy one-liners than you typically see from Guy Ritchie. And it is reuniting him with Jason Statham, who he's paired up with before, as I mentioned before, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, Revolver. So, what do we think of this film? I'm going to first toss it over to our guest, Aaron. Aaron, what did you think of Wrath of Man?
Well, I got to tell you, so I had very low expectations going into this, not because I'm not a Guy Ritchie fan. I actually am generally a fan of most of his stylistic choices, but the trailer for this, I didn't feel like sold me on anything special, and I didn't get the sense that it was a heist film at all. I thought we were going to watch just kind of a Jason Statham revenge movie that didn't seem to necessarily mesh with my thoughts of Guy Ritchie, and I went in just kind of lackadaisical, and I came out really, really excited. And I know you're gonna like give me weird reactions probably, but this is one of my favorite films of the year so far. I absolutely loved it. I watched it again right before we got on tonight, so I've watched it twice, and it held up for me very well. I think it is a really, really great mixture of a heist film and a revenge film, and I like this Guy Ritchie. This is reserved Guy Ritchie, who is not doing his normal flash and flare and just crazy tricks with the camera. He keeps it pretty straightforward. And I just felt like this is the kind of action movie that I love. It is, you know, grabs you right away for me. And it just kept me engaged the entire time. It propelled me through to the end. There were no lapses in the film for me where it dips into majorly dramatic moments and slows itself down. It just goes 90 to nothing all the way to the end. And there are some fun stylistic choices in here with how he structures the film and how he delivers information and reveals, you know, character details throughout the story. But for the most part, it's a fairly, you know, normal way, I guess, of making a movie compared to what you normally would see from Guy Ritchie. And I just loved it. I thought Statham is maybe at his best here, to be honest. I didn't miss the cheeky, quirky one-liners constantly and the overly comedic Guy Ritchie banter. I mean, it's definitely macho still, but reserved to the point. I just loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
I'm going to give you a little bit of leeway here because we're still early in the year. One of your favorites of the year. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you discounting January and February because of the Oscar cutoff? I need to know at this point.
No, I think I'm at like, I don't know, 40, 45 or so.
Have you just not seen that many films this year, Aaron? Like, what's going on? You said I was going to give you some weird looks. I'm doing more than that right now.
Matt, he hasn't been on the podcast in 3 years. Come on, leave him at.
Maybe now there was a reason for that.
I'm a heist film lover, guys. And I felt like Guy Ritchie must have sat down and like binged Michael Mann movies and watched Den of Thieves and been like, hey, I can do that. And I just think it's a great mashup of him kind of riffing on those styles.
I'll get into that in a little bit because I as much as I may sound like I'm beating up on you a little bit, I am going to pull back some punches when we get to my thoughts. Howitt, what did you think of this film?
The theme of tonight's episode is exceeded expectations.
The fuck is happening right now?
On my side, woo! Look,
oh my God, me versus the two of you.
Look, I went into this film probably the same way almost everyone is going to go into this movie, if they even choose to watch it. Which is, I didn't care. I could have cared less about this movie. There's nothing against Jason Statham, but look, how many generic action films that go nowhere has he been in, right? And the name of the film is generic. The poster was generic. The plot description is generic. Everything about this film, other than the fact that it has Guy Ritchie behind it, speaks to it being just a generic action movie. And so I just didn't care about going into this movie. And so imagine my surprise when I found myself engrossed in the the story. And there are really two primary reasons for this. Aaron used the exact right word for Guy Ritchie's direction, reserved. And it really works. He often has a kind of frantic pace to his films, to the editing, to the stylistic choices, and that is totally dialed back here. I think it's really dark, clear, and focused direction, and it really worked. And the other is the non-chronological storytelling, which really unfolds the story in a really effective way. So that really worked for me. Most of all, this movie knows exactly what it wants to be. You know, I think a lot of Jason Statham movies can try to, I think Aaron alluded to this as well, have dumb jokes, you know, cheesy one-liners. There's a couple here, but this isn't trying to be an action comedy. This isn't trying to kick off a franchise. This is a dark as hell revenge thriller, right? And and so it has a singular focus in that way. And so I thought this really worked. Now, I want to be clear before Matt fires me. I'm not here to say that this is groundbreaking or phenomenal or even that memorable. I do think this is, at the end of the day, kind of forgettable. It's more just that it really surpassed my expectations. That's the biggest thing. I had low expectations and I found myself entertained. I thought it was very good. So it's not that I love this movie or anything like that, but I think it is solid. I think it's a solid film. So that's kind of where I landed.
We're going to rename this The Wrath of Matt. That's what this that's what this is going to be called.
You hated this movie. You cannot tell me that.
Okay, so here's what I can say. I can say that you guys are saying that you went in with lowest to low expectations. I think my problem is I went in with high expectations.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yep. And I have a lot of different things that I can reference for why this movie did not meet those expectations. But the main thing I want to first focus on here is we talked a lot about how Guy Ritchie's direction of this movie is more reserved, more toned down, not as zany as it has been in other movies. I mean, we'll just use The Gentlemen as an example, right? I think like the height of Guy Ritchie's style comes in the form of cross-cutting in the third act of the film, where the plan, the heist, if you will, is being laid out for the audience by the characters in the past while we're watching it actually unfold in the present. And I think that's literally, like, stylistically, probably the most that he does in the entire movie.
Yeah. Yes. Other than the chapter headings, that's, yes, correct.
Right. I would agree. Okay, fine. You brought up the chapter headings. So there's a couple of, like, I'm sorry, I have so many different things here. The script to this movie is really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, the dialogue is really bad. Can we at least agree on that?
Yes, I can agree on that.
And I don't think it's great. I don't think it's bad.
You killed our son and still you have nothing to say. You are a cold, cold C-U-N-T.
There are moments. Yeah, there are moments when it is bad. There are moments when there are scenes when he does kind of overdo the dramatic. There's a moment where we're talking with the robbers, right?
Boredom is worse than bullets. Give me a fucking enemy I can see.
Put your asshole back in your asshole.
That's the scene. That's the one. So, yes, there are definitely some moments in there that I'm like, OK, we're really trying hard to be too macho at this point. Yeah. But I think overall it wasn't a killer for me. But yeah, I don't think I'll fight you on this one.
I want to say, Matt, clarifier, you said script is bad. I would clarify that to say dialogue is poor.
That's fair, because that's what I meant.
Yeah, because I think the story itself is pretty generic, but the way in which it unfolds is not, in my opinion. So I think it's wisely, I'm not sure if I could even say scripted, but wisely outlined, I guess.
So I agree with you that the story unfolds in a way that is gripping and actually did have me, you know, engrossed. Like, I wasn't bored watching this movie. I was frustrated by certain things that this movie was doing. And the biggest hindrance for me in terms of the structure of the movie is actually the second act of the film titled Scorched Earth. It is a flashback, and I don't want to reveal too much of what's going on here, but this is the part in the screenplay where after the first act of the film, which I thought was really good in terms of the setup, you know, we're introduced to all the characters in the beginning, Agent Bullet, even though he doesn't move like one, as he, you know, jokingly says, I you know, haha. All right, like, we're getting some establishment here. We get the opening action scene. We realize that H is a badass because he's played by Jason Statham. So, of course, as you do. And there's a bit of mystery around who is this guy and so on and so forth, right? But then when we get to the second act of this film, Scorched Earth, and we have this very, very long flashback, we start realizing, you know, his old team who, you know, previously recognized him in another botched heist gone wrong earlier on in the movie. We, you know, see Andy Garcia. We get all these other characters who we don't even know who they are, but they all get set up in this second act. And I just got to a certain point where I thought the plot was starting to become a little bit too intricate for its own good after being very straightforward earlier. And I even started to question if I was even watching the same movie at a point, because it felt like we had just pivoted away so much from the Jason Statham character. And all of this setup to get us into the third act, like, we eventually get there and we understand who the guys are that have driven him on this revenge mission that he's on. It just takes us so damn long to get there in that second act. And that, from a structure standpoint, is what held me back then from embracing the movie for that aspect.
I disagree, and here's why. I definitely see what you're saying, because we do, like, get pulled away from Jason Statham for quite a while. But what really worked about it for me is actually the chapter headings themselves. Because at first I was like, all right, this is a little overkill, you know. But when I started to realize what was happening, like, oh no, we're seeing the same story just from a different perspective. Especially when they cut back to that heist, you know, and we're seeing the same heist from a different point of view. That's when it started to click into me, and I realized, oh, we're seeing it's not just a flashback. We're seeing different perspectives. And so that really worked for me and helped elevate the story, I think.
Yeah, I'm with Daniel 100% here. I can see what you're saying, though, Matt, and I can understand why that would potentially be a hindrance for some people watching the movie. I mean, I don't feel like anybody would be wrong for feeling that way. The first act to me is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I think it's just gripping as anything, any heist film that I've seen as far as a setup goes. And so it is really hard to match that energy.
Yeah, other than the James Bond wannabe opening titles, I really, really love the first act of this movie.
Yeah,
those titles were hilarious.
Those they were, yeah.
I mean, were they meant to be hilarious?
I don't think so.
For a movie this serious, like, I mean, that's not the only thing that I thought was a ripoff. Like, I even thought that the music in this, like, the score, and guys, please tell me if I'm going crazy here. Did anyone else get Joker vibes from that score?
I didn't make the connection. I mean, yeah. I like the score. I think it was effective.
Yeah, that I didn't feel that in the moment. I see what you're saying.
It's just very serious, so dark.
But that's what worked for me is I think that this movie leans so far into being a dark revenge thriller, not trying to be something else, that it was like, no, we're doing one thing here, one thing, and we're doing it really well.
But then why do you have Rob Delaney as the owner of Fortico, who's cracking jokes like he is in a Guy Ritchie film, a typical Guy Ritchie film?
I mean, I didn't feel like he was cracking too many jokes.
Well, I think it was more so his line delivery. Like, he was being very over the top compared to everyone else.
Well, I think he served a purpose. I think, yeah, he's showing you the attitude of the company, right? That's a very realistic, to me, kind of thing. And I mean, that's the commentary part that I think where maybe the film doesn't handle it as well, but he's supposed to be showing you that they don't care about the employee. They care about the money that the employee can make. It doesn't matter if this guy just, you know, was in a gunfight for them or whatever the case may have been. He did something to make them more money, and he doesn't care about his mental health. He doesn't care about his well-being. He just go out there and make me more money.
But that's something I want to ask too, because I actually, when the movie was over, and I wrote this down because I just felt like it had gotten to that point where I was like, I got to write this down. Is the cash trucking business so important that a whole movie had to be made about it? And if you want to argue to me, no, Matt, this is Guy Ritchie just doing an action film and he has nothing to say with it, I'm going to say bullshit, because it's not a fun action movie. It's serious. So clearly he wants us to take something away from this.
Well, it is based on, a previous film.
Yes, I saw that. It was like a French movie, right?
It's a French movie called Les Convoyeurs, which is literally Cash Truck, I think, in 2004. So it is not, he's not coming up with the idea completely fresh. I think where the commentary tends to come in the social, the way that the bank robbers, their history, and why they're doing what they're doing, how they come into the situation that they end up finding themselves into. And I found that kind of, that's an overdone trope, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't care for the necessarily the execution of that as their reasoning. I liked the way in which they went about their business, and I liked the scenes and watching it play out, but I didn't care about the social commentary one bit. But I think he wanted us to, for sure.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th-century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th-century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.
And then when it comes to like the emotional connection to the film, right, which is here's this character, H, who is trying to get to the bottom of who killed his son. Maybe this is also an expectation thing again. I was genuinely hoping that with the kind of setup that we had received, that we were going to see Jason Statham go to places that he hasn't gone to before. And instead, yes, there were no cheesy one-liners necessarily, but I still feel like I got the same one-note action badass performance from Jason Statham I've seen in a bunch of other movies that he's done
before. 100% agree with you, 100%. I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to immediately contradict myself.
Okay.
So I think I was thinking the exact same thing as I was watching it, Matt. I was like, this material is... I don't want to insult Jason Statham. I don't want him to come and kill me, but this, I was like, this material is better than Jason Statham. You know what I mean? I was like, I would have loved to see this some other actor, like a dramatic actor doing this dark revenge thriller thing. Could have been really cool. Could have gotten a really good performance out of somebody that I just don't think Jason Statham has in him. Now, where I'm going to contradict myself is I think casting Jason Statham helped benefit my viewing experience because it's because of Jason Statham that I went in with such low expectations that if they had cast some, you know, Oscar caliber actor in it or something, I would have had higher expectations that maybe the film wouldn't have met. So I'm kind of like, I don't know. But I agree with you. His performance was, it was a Jason Statham performance. You know what I mean?
So you're saying it needs more Gerard Butler is what you're saying.
It's not a bad comparison.
I agree generally with what you're saying because I liked his performance. I thought he was good in that he didn't do the one-liners all the time. And it was a fairly more for better and worse. It was one note, but I liked the note he was following. He doesn't actually do Jason Statham very often in this movie. Like there's nothing in this that screams it had to be Jason Statham. You know what I mean? From an action standpoint, typically when you see a Jason Statham movie, there's more to the choreography and the fighting that you would say, oh, I see why you got Jason Statham. But it really does not involve that in this movie. I don't think. I think it could have been pretty much anybody. And part of it, I wonder if the darkness, and it's such a menacing tone throughout. Like, he's not a good guy. That's part of the thing is that when we get to his backstory, this is not a matter of like some revenge plot where we're fully on board with the innocent person who got their child killed. You know what I mean? The reason he is who he is and that he's able to do what he ends up doing is not good. And it just shows you the dark underbelly of all of these things. Even the way that the Andy Garcia's cameo cup of coffee that he, you know, the characters that he plays and how his relation to Jason Statham's character is in the film. There's so much seediness to everything going on here that there is no real innocent person other than maybe Josh Hartnett, who, by the way, I think is really great. It's nice to see him back. I thought he was a lot of fun. He doesn't have a huge part.
I was going to say, actually, it's kind of incredible, right, that Josh Hartnett has, like, third-tier, second-tier billing in this?
Yeah, maybe lower. I was shocked to see him. Like, I didn't know he was in it.
I feel like at a different point in time, I wouldn't be surprised if he auditioned for the lead role, actually.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have. But so I liked him. I mean, I like most of the cast. I thought Scott Eastwood was fantastic as his sleazy, gross, just disgusting person that he was. But yeah, I don't know. I just think that Statham is effective in the, it's not even really fully an anti-hero type of role.
Yeah, I just, like, nobody in this movie stood out to me performance wise and God, I wish I could give more to the actors. Like, I wish I could give more credit, but I nobody worked for me in that regard. The only thing that I was hoping that would save me at a certain point was the action. But you mentioned before, Aaron, that the action is not really like this stylized, choreographed action. It's more gun shoot 'em up and not in the fun Clive Owen shoot 'em up style. It's just very serious. It's very bare bones. And I think there's one. Yeah, there's probably like one elaborate fight scene with Jason Statham and another character involving a knife at one point. But other than that, I mean, it's just typical, you know, shoot 'em up. And I kind of found that to be boring, if I'm being completely honest with you.
The thing that's funny about this us on this review right now is like, because Matt, you're not loving the movie, I'm in this position of like defending it, but I don't want it to come across that I love this movie by any means. Like, I there's really not a lot for me to defend here. I enjoyed the experience. But I at the end of the day,
which makes sense.
Yeah. Like it's really just the experience of it. But honestly, in about 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to kind of have a hard time remembering this movie. Like,
yeah, like the final action scene goes on forever. Yeah, and I just watched it this morning. And I can only tell you one thing about the final action scene that I actually remember, and that is that they were wearing protective armor, so they could not be shot by bullets. Like, that's the only thing that, like, I remember about it. I don't remember anything else.
Yeah, my main takeaway from this is not that I love this movie or anything like that. It's really just that I want to see more from Guy Ritchie in this style, with this style of direction.
Oh, no. See, I'm like, give me more of what he gave us in The Gentleman and Snatch and things like that.
Is
you know?
This the embarrassing moment where I tell you I still never watched The Gentleman? Oops.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it's good. I kept
hearing that.
The Gentleman is a lot of fun.
I got to it. So I actually can't compare it to that. But I mean, I definitely love Snatch. You know, I actually embarrassingly, I actually really enjoyed Aladdin. I like Guy Ritchie, but I just felt like this was more confident, more focused. And it really was to the benefit of the screenplay.
I will give you, in regards to the way that he directs here, it is definitely more focused. But the problem I have in regards to that then is that Guy Ritchie, I feel like, has such an established style from his earlier films that he continues to every now and then revisit, either full on with something like The Gentleman, or it's in spurts in his bigger movies like Sherlock or, heck, even Aladdin. Definitely King Arthur, but that was terrible all around. But here, I feel like he loses his voice and his identity that I watched this movie, and I feel like any director could have made this, if I'm being completely honest with you.
You're not wrong. Yeah, you're not wrong.
It's almost like what Paul Greengrass did with News of the World, where we watched that and we were like, this doesn't feel like a Paul Greengrass film.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's us putting expectations on it based on history of a director, though, more than anything. I mean, because for me, the structure is talent showing up, whether it's a structure that Guy Ritchie has ever done before or not. The way in which this movie reveals itself and the difference in perspectives, like Daniel said earlier, that was kind of the one thing I really love. Seeing the same scene from three different angles that slowly reveal pieces of that scene and the whole was, I love that. Like, that's fascinating to me to see it all kind of work together and to have that puzzle come together in the end. And that also is partially why I think you didn't react to the action. The action in the final scene it falls flat for quite a few people. I mean, I didn't love it either, the action part of it. I loved the cross-cutting of the heist as it was happening.
Yeah.
The problem for me was that the heist wasn't that interesting. Like, they pull into a warehouse and there's the money. We're on this side of the wall, you're on that side of the wall, and then we fight. You know, There's not like an intricate Den of Thieves type style. Usually when you get to the big heist, the act of doing the heist is what is interesting. But this movie is all about just the fact of how the puzzle pieces get you to the heist. So it's different in that way. And then when the actual heist and the action during the heist, neither of those are that memorable. I will completely agree with you. My feelings on the movie and why I love it so much are simply because I feel like it's very much a rewatchable for me. It's not top tier heist because it doesn't have the memorable heist way of that taking place, but it's a movie that I just feel is so propulsive from start to finish that I would enjoy rewatching it, you know, anytime I see it on. It's that kind of film for me. It hits that sweet spot.
I almost just feel like there's like a curve right now, or, you know, there's a check in the mail and it hasn't landed yet or something. I'm a little taken aback by how forgiving you are right now, but hey, listen, I love having that different perspective. I think that is just made for a much more interesting review here, which I really appreciate as well. So credit to you in that regard. Credit to you. Final thoughts on the film. We're at that point now where if there's something you want to mention that we haven't brought up yet or you want to reiterate, the floor is yours, Aaron.
I think I've said most everything I could say. I just really do want to, I guess, want to shout out the cast, because I know you said you weren't really a fan and nobody stuck out to you, but I thought that there are so many characters in this movie, and nobody has spotlight really other than Statham. And I thought that they all fit. They all worked really, really well for the bits and the pieces of the story that they needed to fulfill. If anybody, I thought Holt, I think he did a great job. He was a really engaging and kind of charismatic character and played well with Jason Statham's seriousness. I thought that those two were really interesting when they were on screen together. And it's a good thing that he's around for so much of the movie, because he gives us another character to latch onto for a long period of time. And so I liked him a lot. But yeah, final thoughts are just that I think that if you love serious heist films, Den of Thieves is really the one I would go back to, because I think that it's very similar to that style, not necessarily of the structure and the way it's told, but just that darkness and that, you know, we are bad people going to do bad things, and you're going to see some cool gunfights here and there, not perfect. You're going to see a heist. And if you enjoy that kind of stuff, I think you're going to have a really good time with this film.
There was another Jason Statham heist film that was more British. I'm trying to remember what it was called now off the top of my head.
Italian Job? Wasn't he in the Italian?
No, The Bank Job.
The Bank Job.
That was the name of it.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. See, now that's my Jason Statham heist film. I like that one a lot more than this, I'll just say. All right, Howitt, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered it quite a bit. I think the main reason for my positive review, we'll give our scores here in a second, but my main reason for it is honestly low expectations. Like, I think if you like Guy Ritchie but weren't really, you know, excited for this, or you just want a dark action movie to check out, going with low expectations, this isn't going to blow your mind, in my opinion. This isn't going to, you know, this isn't going to be on your top 10 list of the year or anything like that. But I think you might enjoy it. I think it's a good one to put on to just watch a kind of mindless action movie. Now, like I said, I've already said it, you know, maybe once or twice. this isn't very memorable. I'm going to forget about this movie, but I'm glad that I saw it, and I'm glad that it exists, because I really was just taken aback by how much I actually did enjoy it.
Okay. All right. And for me, final thoughts here. I do like this one edit where there is an elaborate heist that's going on with gas, and then there's a cut, and it just cuts to Eddie Marsden saying, so let me get this straight. They just walked away. And then that produced like such a great laugh from me. Maybe like the only time I laughed in the movie. And I thought that that was actually really clever in terms of the storytelling, because we don't see right away what happens with that heist scene. And so I got to admit, like, the first act of this movie in terms of the setup, introducing us to the cash truck company and really just introducing us to the Jason Statham character and so on and so forth, I was pretty hooked into this movie at that point. Once we got into the second act, as I mentioned earlier, that's where the film started to lose me just a little bit in terms of everything. Pacing, characters, because at that point they're introducing so many characters and they all talk in this childish tough guy speak of dialogue that is just so, come on people, we could do better than this. We could do so much better than this when it comes to dialogue. But then the third act, I was like, okay, wow me with a good action scene and a great ending, and you've got me again. And I just kind of shrugged when it was all over. Even like the ending to the film, and how it ties into the third act's title. You know, I still also was just kind of like, I wasn't wowed by it. There's even a reveal of an inside man, and that wasn't even a big surprise.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it coming a mile away.
Oh, absolutely.
Come on. So, but with all that said, I was never bored while watching it. And I do think that there is an audience out there for this, and I wouldn't say that it is embarrassingly bad. So I will... I will say this. If I went in with the proper expectations, you'd see me at a 4 out of 10 on this one. Which is where I'll be very fair and generous and where I will land.
Wow.
What about you?
You know, I landed at a soft 7. I think this is a perfectly respectable movie. I didn't dislike too much about it. I was very entertained. I thought it was an enjoyable viewing experience. So I'll give it kind of my baseline, kind of an average of 7.
Aaron?
Well, I'm a 4 too, but I'm a 4 out of 5. Not a 4 out of 10. No. You know, since if
so, you're basically an 8 out of 10 on our scale, basically.
I'm a 4 out of 5 on mine. I would say if I'm on your scale and doing halves, I'd probably lower that to more like a 7.5 out of 10.
But we don't do halves, though. So is it an 8 or is it a 7?
Yeah. I would go a 7, I think. I think I would lean toward a 7 as well, just because I think it is missing what Daniel has said several times, and it's missing the wow memorable moment of the film.
That one set piece that we're all like, oh man, even if the rest of the movie was crap, that one set piece was great.
And the one that is really, really great, where Statham shoots a bunch of people, is in the trailer, unfortunately, of course. So you've already seen that, likely, if you watch in any kind of trailer. So yeah, I'll go with a 7 for this and say for now. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
We totally neglected to talk about Post Malone being in this movie.
I mean, that, yeah. I mean, how did you not enjoy? I thought that was so fun. That's all I'm going to say.
There's so many people in this movie. It's almost ridiculous how many people are here. I mean, you also have, what's her name from, Calm with Horses? Niamh Algar, I think her name is. She's like the only female character in this movie. The blonde.
She's part of the crew, or the, not the crew, but she works for the company, the truck company.
Yeah. They also didn't do a good job with her character either, but you know, whatever. Screenplay is not the thing here, I suppose. I don't know. But in any event though, as far as any Oscar potential is concerned, I'm going with a big fat 0 on this one. No sound, no editing. I mean, I'm sure somebody here, watch, there'll be some pretentious like film critics group that will give this an editing nomination or win at some point.
Yeah, no way.
No, I mean, I like all of the, I like the things about it, but there's no way those are going to hold.
Yeah, this is not an awards
film. The end of the year, no.
No, 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 no way. God, no. All right. Well, Aaron, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here today to talk with us about this movie. Tell everyone where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Feelin Film, at Feelin Film on Twitter. The podcast is called Feelin Film. That's Feelin with an apostrophe and then F-I-L-M, of course, on everything that you can imagine, every podcatcher that is out there. So we pretty much just approach film more from the emotional perspective, which probably now that you're hearing this lines up with what I just expressed about this film and how I take them. So a little less on the technical side, more on the emotional reaction. We do normal spoiler-free reviews throughout the week, and then we try to break down something in depth where you really have needed to see the film, because we're going to go into themes and things like that. So that's what we do.
I've listened to your show for years. If anyone here has not listened to it, I highly recommend it.
Yes.
You usually have a rotating group of people, which is a lot of fun. You have some co-hosts for a time. And at the end of the day, Aaron, you've been the constant there. So if anyone's like listening to Aaron here today, I highly urge you to check out his podcast. All right. And Daniel Howitt.
Yeah, I love Aaron's podcast. Definitely check it out. You can find me on Twitter at HowittDK.
And you can find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to our review of Wrath of Man here on the Next Best Picture podcast. You can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And if you want to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars, leave us a comment, let us know what you think of the show. Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable, FYI. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.